Lord, thank you that you sup with us. And Lord, thank you, God, that you call us and you've chosen us. Lord, thank you that you've cleansed us all by your precious blood. Lord, we come in just awe and thanksgiving today, Lord, with a cup that is full and runneth over. And Lord, we just ask that, Lord, you just give us more praise. And Lord, that our lives would be more of that incense of thanksgiving to you. How sweet smelling it is to you when we give you thanks in all things. When we thank you always, Lord God. A life of thankfulness in the grace that has been given to us. All grace. And Lord, may we grow up into every bit of it. Lord, may we not make it vain. Lord, not something empty to our lives, but God, that we just swim and swim into the depths. Lord, we give you the praise today and thank you for every life that's here, every life by God's grace listening. And Lord, let us do listen to the Spirit and what he saith to the church. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Praise the Lord. Open your Bibles up to the book of Galatians, and we'll begin here at the end of chapter 2. And what we have here is Paul has been encouraged in spirit. He has been pricked in heart of what's been going on with ones that know better. And God had to show something that was still there. And that's how the Lord does it in our lives, in this meeting. As we're drawing breath by the grace of God, he's going to make his love known. And we'll have this choice. What will we do with it? And here it was. In verse 21 of chapter 2 of Galatians, Paul said this. He said, I do not frustrate. That means he didn't make it empty or void, the grace of God. If righteousness come by the law, then Christ died in vain. Amen. If you've been here in the past with our precious pastor, Brother Hill, he would oftentimes lift up his little pinky fingernail. And he'd say, if I could clip that fingernail and do one little thing to be acceptable to God, God would never have given his son. There is nothing good in us. There is nothing that would desire God in us. It's all because of the love that God loved us with and gave us in his son Jesus. It goes on to say, after he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Listen to those words. This is serious. That ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? That statement here from the Apostle Paul is in correction specifically to Peter and Barnabas, ones that know the truth. Brothers and sisters, but for the grace of God, you don't realize where we would be. And God knows what he's dealing with when he's dealing with us. We're his sheep. And he knows what's there. And he knows what needs to be brought forth. And I pray when he brings things forth in our life that we don't look away from it. That we understand and say, oh Lord, I'll tell you what, that broken heart and contrite spirit before God is everything to him. That's what he glories in. That's what he bestows his riches upon. I thank the Lord that he continues to deal with us like that and to continue to make our hearts tender. But see, this was including Peter and Barnabas, those that knew the truth. And what was going on here was a magnification of the empty attempts of perfecting the flesh. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. The empty attempts to perfect the flesh is not the way to winning Christ. I'm already perfect in Jesus. He took care of my sin. I thank the Lord. I rejoice that I'm justified, that now I am a son of God. I'm now a son of God. I thank the Lord that he set me by the blood of Jesus where there is no law, there is no sin. I thank God I do know this, and you need to know it if you're really going to grow in grace. All things are lawful for you. Everything. If there's no law, then there's no sin. All things are lawful. But I do know all things are not expedient. I know that they wouldn't spiritually encourage. And that's the love that we have for one another. But I need to know for my life, and in that grace and in that blood, let me tell you something. Whom he's made free is free indeed. There is no limit to the liberty that I have in Christ. And that is the truth. But I thank the Lord, the growth and the maturity is the love. I would not want to stumble, my brother. I love you in that regard. I thank God that's the love of Christ. I was rejoicing today. See, it's love that changes us. And God gave us that naturally in life. I don't know how many here are married or fell in love or whatever it would be, but, you know, maybe you dated other people before you met your spouse and all of those things, and you had different ones that you enjoyed to be with and all of that, but then you met that one. Amen. And now you didn't just say, well, now I'm just going to consciously say, you know, Betty and Sue and Gina, you know, I can't do that no more. I'm going to do this. That's not even a thought. Betty, Sue, and Gina, who are they? I love her. And it's going to change me. And it changed me. And that's all I want to be with. And that's what the love of Christ does in your life. It changes you from glory to glory. It changes you into like him. I don't try to change. By the grace of God, as I grow in that love changes me. That's what draws us to church. By the grace of God, I'm thankful to see you two men. I love you dearly, all three of you. You didn't come here because you're guilt. You didn't come here because you were forced. You came here because, you know what, you wanted to. And that's how it should be. And I thank the Lord. Now, I understand we don't just raise up children and let them do whatever they want. No, you train them up in the way that they should go. But I'll tell you what, you better train them in love because they should go in love. You train up children harshly, I'll tell you what, they'll buck. They'll resent it. That's why I'm so thankful for the love of our Jesus. Think about people that have been preached legality. And were so, and I'm talking by Christians, they were raised in these homes and they were so harsh to them. And then they blame Jesus and they think that this harshness and this condemnation is who Jesus is. And as I tell them all the time, don't blame those that, yes, they're my brethren, but those are children. Those are ones caught in such deception. Jesus came to save the lost. He looked for those that were despised. He knew he could work with that kind of heart that was lowly, that knew completely they needed him. The Pharisees were all lined up. They were trying to show off how good and how righteous and all of these things that they could do. That was filthy rags, the leper's rags to God. He was looking for those that were despised alone at a well, like that Samaritan woman. He was looking for those like the woman who came in, the harlot that washed his feet with her tears. He was looking for those even caught in the very act of adultery and being condemned by the self-righteous to come in and to say, oh honey, you go and sin no more. My blood has made you free. My blood has washed you clean. Now, thank you, Lord. So we know that it is a matter of fact that pursuing the perfection by the flesh is completely contrary to winning Christ. Pursuing the perfecting of your flesh is the exact extreme opposite of the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I've seen ones that have started, and thanks be to God, have fellowshipped in this truth, in this magnificence of the glory of His grace. See, this is the message of the glory of His grace. The glory that will come forth out of His grace. If you'll take it all, this is why Paul said, I'm so glad I didn't make it vain. I took it all. I don't want one shred of me. I want to be only found having His righteousness. His righteousness. Everything about Him. Everything about His mercy. Everything about His grace. Everything about the blood of the Lamb. I don't want to take my eyes off that mercy seat. Praise be to God, that's where all the growth is. The wings of the lovers of that cherubim, praise be to God, those that will rule and reign with Him, they never take their eyes off of the mercy and the depths of the mercy on the mercy seat covered in the blood of the Lamb. Lord, help us to get this. It's so simple, but we don't want to take it. God, help. Now, this is won by grace alone, completely by grace alone. And just in this golden morsel, by the grace of God, may it be enough, more than enough, to flood us with the desire that we might be like those that Paul spoke of in Romans. What is that? Romans 11, 5 and 6. It said, even so then at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, there, it says, then is it no more of works? See, if it's grace, then it's no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. By the grace of God, I want to be of that remnant of grace. Completely to, and we'll get there, you know where we're landing today, to the praise and the glory of His grace. Oh, amen. This past weekend, we've heard some wonderful truth. Hallelujah. How sweetly it was to hear Brother Hines. You could feel him running. The call to run, the running to win. Running with certainty. But brothers and sisters, may we realize the only running and the only winning there can ever be is in and by the grace of God. You run in your own effort, you do not run well. You're running amiss. You beat the air. We've all been there, haven't we? We've all been there telling God how we're not going to do it again. We've all told God how I'm going to make a deal now, Lord. I'm not going to do this to get that. You learn to be still and know He's God, don't you? Amen. Now, what was given to Paul was a message of the fully purposed runner. He was the one, Paul, who wrote multiple times of that runner of joy. Joy. You don't run because you're disciplined. You don't run because you're strong. You run because you're joyous. You got a vision of Jesus. And the moment He said it, for the joy that's set before me, the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. That's the joy that causes me, by His grace, to stay in this truth. This the joy of the Lord that there was no way nothing was going to keep me from preaching what God wanted me to preach today. By the grace of God, the greatest joy in my heart. the privilege to come, to gather, praise God, with the elect of God, those that want to be and desire by grace to be in this remnant of grace, that fight for it, that thank the Lord, that by the grace of God are always looking to the word of his grace to build you up. Not you to build you up, not the things you do to build you up, but the word of his grace to build you up. And to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Anybody who has ever set apart only for the master's use, let me tell you something. It was always by the word of his grace. Abraham didn't deserve it. Noah didn't deserve it. Rahab didn't deserve it. David didn't deserve it. But God says, you're it. And thanks be to God, those are the vessels that have shown us the way. Oh, I just trust the Lord. I trust the Lord. I trust the Lord. It didn't matter. It didn't matter the circumstance. It didn't even matter what I thought. It doesn't matter what you think. It matters what God says. And it matters what God has chosen. And I'm telling you, by the grace of God, believe his word today. I will accomplish it in the thing that I have sent it to. God's word never returns void unto him. Believe him right now. He's given you an ear to hear this. This isn't something for the guy next to you or the person across the pew. It doesn't matter where you're sitting in this church. It doesn't matter where you're hearing this truth. This truth is for you. This message of his bride is for you. This ruling and reigning jointly together with him is for you. Praise be to God. He's brought each and every one of us individually, just like he did to Rebecca. You have that meeting at the well, and thanks be to God, he's ministered to you. And he's given you the faith. He's given you the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's who lives in you. That's who lives in you. I don't need to beg for that. I have that. And Lord, by your word and the hearing of this word, it unleashes it. It turns it into fire and passion and knowing that that is mine. Praise be to God. And hallelujah, it is for you to be glorified together with him. Glorified together with him, jointly enjoying everything together with him. And don't you ever doubt that. He is faithful and true. Now, Paul wrote of this multiple times, of this runner of joy. And in that joy, that's the certainty that you run in. It's the Lord's joy that was set before him. It was his heart, his love. That's my certainty of running. That's the mark for the prize. It's the love of Jesus. That's the mark for the prize. It's his finished work on the cross. That's the mark for the prize that he's seated at the right hand of God and has sent the Holy Ghost, the power of his might, to perform it in me. That's it. That's the certainty of winning him. You're reliant and you're confident upon him. And yes, you will fall. Though he fall, he will not be utterly cast down. The right hand of God upholds him. You're his workmanship. Amen? Did he not say, I will perform the good work which I've begun in you? Do you believe him for that? How much faith will you believe? How much of a good work has he begun in you? He's given you the whole counsel of God. It is time to believe it. It's time to just say, Lord, I truly trust you. I truly trust you. This is like a David, really just a young boy, running into a giant with a slingshot. Almost 10 feet tall this guy was, a sword that weighed so much, a man couldn't even pick it up. But he trusted God. You uncircumcised Philistine. See, that's just your unbelief. That's what that is. That uncircumcised Philistine is just unbelief. Anything that sets you back from trusting God. I'm looking at those that are going to sit in the throne with Jesus. I'm looking at you. Looking at you. You want to be in awe about something? Understand what God is doing by the word of his grace. Now, Here is how Paul ran, and here's the power source. Everything about that joy, everything about remaining in the joy of the truth of the Lord, right here in 1 Corinthians 15:10. It says there, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I. Even though that grace empowered him, he still doesn't take any credit for it. But the grace of God did it, and does it, and finishes it, which was with me. And I believe the Word of God says that we have been given how much grace? All grace. All grace. Paul was given all grace. We've been given all grace. Thanks be to God. And I believe he tells us in all grace, we have all sufficiency. And we have it in all things. And we have it always. It's not a contingent thing. Think of those alls that you talk about, superlatives like Sister spoke of. You have all grace. You have it for all things. You have it always. Come on. And to superabound to every good work. Every good work. Now, if I got all grace and I got it always, I'll tell you what, I look at my life and I say, well, that don't look that good. I didn't do very good in that. But he said, no, wait a second, son. I give you all grace always for all things. All things. So when I make a mistake, when I fail, I still got all grace for all things, and I got it always. Amen? Amen. And that's the superabounding to every good work, because all of those good works are where? In His grace. Oh, thank you, God. So we praise Him for this. That, see, grace is what brings joy. You don't have joy, you're cold, you're harsh, you want to battle and just be a, you know, really, just get in there and fuss. People say, well, I'm just asking you a question. No, you weren't. You're trying to argue. I'm not going to argue. I don't want to do that. That's stupid. That's what children do. We go to our father because we're mature sons. What does our father say? Well, you know what? I love to hear what he says, because that's what it is. And here's what he says. Joy, joy. Grace brings joy. Grace brings love. Grace brings desire in a Christian life. And that's the only thing that will ever bring it, is grace. Understand that. Thank the Lord that we hear the counsel of the grace of God. Now, Paul here we read, he takes no credit for his efforts, does he? And he takes no credit for his keeping. Paul claims many times, I have no strength. And I'll tell you what, though, God still took no chances with it, because God loves so much. And you think about Paul there in the 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He gave Paul a precious thorn. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe most likely even something Paul really never knew that was even there in his life. He had to be given that thorn. And the Lord didn't give him that thorn. The Lord ordered the thorn. And you know where he ordered it from? The messenger of Satan. Diner. Whatever you want to call it. But that's who brought it. You know, we have those delivery services. It was a messenger of Satan. And see, Satan always thinking he's oh, golly. You know, he lifted up the hedge on Job. I'm going to get him now. God was going to be magnified in it. Understand that with your life. If the Lord wanted to put you in a lotus land of ease and you'd never be tried, he could have done it, but he didn't. If he wanted to put you in a body that never was tempted, he could have done it, but he didn't. There's a beauty in this, and it's understanding grace, and it's understanding mercy. And that's his purpose for us, and that's what's so beautiful about it. And even though Satan thinks that he's getting gain on you, and even though maybe you think, oh, Lord, as Paul even thought, Three times he sought the Lord. Lord, you got to take this from me. I know this isn't good for me as a Christian. That's what he was telling the Lord. This isn't helping my Christian life. This isn't going to give me the testimony I need to have. This is hurting and defeating my life in you. Oh, Paul, do you know how my thoughts, honey, still aren't your thoughts? And my ways aren't your ways. And Paul had to learn more grace. He said, if I lift that from your life, Paul, you would be magnified. With all of the revelation of everything that I've given to you, all of that knowledge that I gave so specifically to my chosen vessel, the chief of sinner. Never forget it, Paul. You would be magnified. See, Paul was still looking at that time. You'd have to think about this. If you really see it within the Word of God, he was still looking somehow, some way. Well, I'd be perfect, more perfect in seeking you, Lord Jesus, if my flesh was a little more perfect. He had to give him a thorn in that flesh. Paul, I'm going to bring something out, honey, that's going to bring a weakness in you and a humbleness in you that's going to finish you. That's going to finish you. You're going to understand about the faith that you're going to rejoice that you kept. The faith in my faithfulness, Paul. That fight, praise God, the fight, Paul, wasn't again all the forces of nature and all these things. You fought to stay in grace. You fought against this, praise God. But I brought more grace. I brought that thorn to teach you and to show you, Paul, you can't do it. It's me. Lord, let this be the last one. Oh, God, I want to see you. Now, this had to be brought out of Paul because there had to be the knowledge and understanding that the moment by moment of our lives need to be thanking the Lord for his grace. That our all sufficiency of everything in our life is the grace of God. And that is the only place, brothers and sisters, where you will find ones that will win him. That's the truth. Not 99%, not 99.9%, but 100% magnifying the grace of God. That is the place that Paul said, be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, my. And see, Paul brags upon that and boasts in the Lord. That is the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Is understanding that, the beauty of that simplicity that's all in the blood of the Lamb of God. This is the righteousness that only came and only is and only remains by the blood of the Lamb and not by the works of your flesh. Now, there's a high water mark that's found all over the Word of God, but especially we'll say today in Ephesians. And in Ephesians chapter 1, what we find there in that high water mark, and that high water mark is grace. And there's no limit to it. But these are the ones that are forever buoyant in that high water mark of grace. And they're found right here in Ephesians chapter 1. The Lord doesn't mess around. And he comes out and he says here in verse 5, about you and about me, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. You see, let me tell you something. This glory is going to praise. Glory is going to praise this grace. Wherein he hath made us acceptable. He's made us, brothers and sisters, and that means endued us with honor and special favor in the beloved. I want you to really listen to this today as we close this up. He predestinated us into the adoption of children. We've studied this out many times. You go back in there and read in the Greek, understand what this is. It's not to just adoption of children. This means to mature sons. More perfectly, it should read mature sons. According to the good pleasure of his will. See, that's what he wants. He wants you to grow up. He sees you in him, praise God. The whole vision, the whole purpose, the whole plan of God was his wife would have his jointly reigning bride with him. And that is a requirement for him to take his throne. That glory, that throne, praise God, cannot be received without the glory of his wife. That has to complete him because that's the magnificent masterpiece and glory of his grace. Everything is evident in that grace, and that masterpiece of grace is his bride. That masterpiece of grace will be completed, and praise the Lord, that's when he will take the throne with her. So if we see this, these are predestinated us to mature sons according to the good pleasure of his will. Now listen to this, to the praise of the glory of his grace. So these mature sons are to the praise of the glory of his grace. These sons are the sons of the riches of his glory. They are the sons that are the hope of glory. And I'm going to ask you something. Who is glory? Jesus is glory. So think of this. It's Jesus. So this grace, praise God, in us, in its fullness, receives the praise of Jesus and is the hope of Jesus. Let the Spirit read the word to you. By the grace of God. Let me... Even in our natural marriages, I'm just going to tell you something. And I know my wife can stand this. Uh-oh. I felt and I thought and I still do, I married the most beautiful woman that I've ever met. Now, I'm not saying that because I did a lot of bad stuff here. I'm just telling you the truth, all right? And by the grace of God, that day that I married her, my heart praised the beauty that God had given me in this wife. I couldn't believe, and for years I've heard it and I still do. How did you get her? No, it's true. It's all right. Huh? And, but I did.
Praise the Lord.
But what I'm saying is that there was a praise in my heart and a thankfulness. Now, if the Lord give me that and give you that, I'm sure too, with the one that you love, how much more so God give that to us, an understanding, his anticipation and his desire. I mean, do you walk through, are you by the Spirit, have you had the vision that you are that Shulamite in the Song of Solomon? Have you ever seen the Lord as you glance back at him looking through the lattice at you and saying, oh, I can't look at you anymore. You're just too beautiful. And haven't you just like her said, oh, Lord, but I'm really not. I know you're right there to take me, but I got to make myself up just a little bit. I can't come out and greet you at the door until I get a little bit more pretty. When you're going to understand, just as you are, lovely. You put anything else on, you do anything else. But my grace is sufficient. I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back again because you're going to get it. My grace is going to make that happen. You're going to get it. You're not even going to get yourself ready. You're just going to run through the street like a mad woman. Where is my beloved? Where is he? Where can I find him? And you think you're finding him, and he's just drawing you right to him. Brothers and sisters, I want that grace to dwell in me for him. Jesus loves and desires and is completely overwhelmed with his grace to be fully manifested in us. That's what makes him wild. I don't know how else to say it. It causes him to be head over heels. The ecstasy of him watching you take grace, it floods him with such desire. See, this is the pinnacle of grace for grace. He has given us all grace, really all grace, the immensity of his grace, so that he receives the glory of his grace, the product of his grace, the masterpiece of his grace, the praise of all the glory of his grace. This is his bride in all his fullness and manifestation of his grace. She is the glory of his grace. Now, so it is any wonder why the Word of God then says, and I love who the Lord said it through, sweet Peter. The very last thing that the Spirit writes through him, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, really, can we just allow the Lord to settle it? Just to settle it? That it's grace alone? Grace does all the change. Grace brings all the glory. There's no glorying but in the grace of God that is with us. Amen? Let's pray. Give you the praise in Jesus' name. And Lord, we come to you in just thanksgiving. And Lord, you are the God of all grace. And Lord, thank you that you have given us this precious love and encouragement, Lord, to praise you in that. And Lord, to give you all the glory for it. And Lord, we know that this life and the things that come, and Lord, the things that we face, Lord, by our natural sight, we would be defeated. By our natural sight, Lord, we can be led away in man's thoughts. But Lord, may we live this precious life by faith, the faith that came by the grace of God, and the faith that remains by the grace of God, and the faith that grows only by and in the grace of God. And Lord, thank you that you've gathered a people, Lord, that want to praise you for this grace. And Lord, understanding completely, God, that everything has been unmerited, that it was only and all in the great love wherewith you loved us and the gift of your Son, Jesus. And in him you freely gave us all things. And Lord, thank you that his life lives in us. Thank you today, Lord God, that we come boldly to the throne, that we are accepted in the Beloved. That, Lord, the life of your Son is the life that we have. And, Lord, thank you, God. We call you Father. We call you Dad. And, oh, how we're loved by the family of God. And we thank you, Lord, and so soon we will see your face. Beloved Lamb of God, our bridegroom soon to see. Oh, what joy, full of glory it will be. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen.